Now let's look at some of the issues surrounding trade imbalances. So what's the problem with the trade imbalance? Well, let's consider an example of the United States, which from about 1990 has been running persistent current account and trade deficits, as pictured here, and those deficits are increasing through about 2005-2006. And what you see in the same picture is those deficits are being financed by a capital account surplus, the mirror image pictured here, and this means that foreigners had been lending Americans money to finance American consumption through the medium of imports. The potential problem arises if foreigners become less willing to finance the trade deficit, if foreigners become less willing to lend money. Basically, if foreigners are lending money, they expect to be paid back, and if the prospects for economic growth are good, well, they will be paid back. But if foreigners start worrying about those prospects for economic growth, they will be less willing to supply this capital on the capital account surplus side of the ledger, and that means that a country will find its trade deficit much harder to finance. If foreign capital indeed runs away, this is sometimes called a sudden stop, and we have a whole video devoted exclusively to that topic. For now, I'll just say this can involve a rapidly falling currency value, much higher interest rates as a country is still trying to borrow from now unwilling lenders, declines in domestic income, and very often the need to make awkward or harmful adjustments to government budgets. One way to think about the trade imbalance is to go back to the balance of payments identity presented in our video on that topic and think of a trade imbalance as being a current account which is persistently in deficit. So again, that can be financed if the capital account is consistently in surplus, but again, if foreign lenders become unwilling, we need some other way to make the trade deficit fall, and well, one way that can happen is basically to have income of our nation decline, and that will lower the demand for imports, and that will indeed, over time, bring the current account back into balance, but that's a very painful way to do it, and in general, countries don't want to go down that route. If we look just at the equation for the current account, we can again see ways a country might address the idea of trade imbalances. So here's the balance of trade, exports minus imports, and if a country has the prospect of increasing its exports, that will make a trade imbalances problem much more manageable. Another alternative we discuss in our video on dark matter is that if a country has very high income earned on capital invested abroad, this too can make a trade imbalance much more sustainable. In general, my view is that a so-called trade imbalance is usually a symptom of some other deeper underlying problem, rather than the trade imbalance being a problem itself. So if we take this case of the United States has had persistent trade deficits. There's a lot of capital flowing into the United States. In my view, overall, that investment in the United States has been productive, and thus it is able for the United States to continue with a trade imbalance without that being a serious economic problem. We see also that the United States is supplying the world with the dollar, which is a reserve and safe haven currency, and this too makes it easier for the United States to be running persistent trade deficits. You can think of sending those dollars abroad as actually a kind of useful export. Nonetheless, there is still some potential concern over trade imbalances, and this really has to do with long-run factors. So if a country is running a persistent trade deficit, this in fact means that the rate of savings in that country is going to be relatively low, that over time the country is not accumulating assets, but rather it is spending them down. Well, that may be the right thing to do in particular periods of time, but there is a legitimate worry that if a country has a savings rate which is too low, in the much longer run, it will lose a kind of relative wealth or relative standing in the global economy. But then again, the problem really would be the low savings rate and not the trade imbalance per se. Now, we saw the United States as a country with a trade imbalance, which in practice has proved to be really quite manageable. But we can see a contrasting case if we look at the economy of Greece. Pictured here is the external trade imbalance of Greece. And starting in about 1997 here, what we see is that Greece begins to run a systematic trade deficit, which is remaining quite high, and that is being financed by foreign capital. So Greece is spending that money on imports, and it is financing that spending by doing some borrowing from abroad. The economy of Greece differs from that of the United States in some critical ways. One is simply that Greece is tied into the Eurozone, and that means that Greece has a currency which it does not control, so there's no option of the Greeks using printing of their currency to pay off their debts, and that makes the likelihood of a Greek default much higher. Another big difference is simply that Greece in many ways has bad institutions. It has a high level of corruption, and if you look at indices on the ease of doing business in a country, Greece generally performs quite poorly. This is in marked contrast with the United States, which has higher wealth, higher productivity, and a much greater ability to credibly promise to repay its debts, and thus a greater ability to keep on financing its trade deficits. And indeed, there really is a strong connection between the productivity of a nation's businesses and the overall credibility of that nation in repaying its debts, whether public sector or private sector. Finally, the taxing capacity of the Greek state is quite weak. For instance, there's much more tax evasion in Greece, and there's a general feeling in Greece that because of corruption, money collected through tax revenue will not in general be spent on public goods, and that makes taxation less popular. Again, the United States may appear somewhat dysfunctional in this regard to people living here, but compared to Greece, it's a much better functioning public sector. The net result is that for Greece, we really did have an economic collapse, and this is what started setting off the Eurozone crisis. So foreign lenders got very nervous about giving more money to Greece in the form of loans. They started to worry whether the Greeks could repay that money. Those funds dried up. That was a crisis for the government budget in Greece. And in general, the Greek economy had to undergo a lot of contraction. There was a lot of default on debt. Overall, the Greek banking system got into a lot of trouble. A lot of deposits left the country. And really, on numerous fronts at once, we saw the Greek economy contracting, risk premia going up, and there being a lot of economic problems. Over the span of about 5 years, it's estimated that the Greek economy actually lost about 20% of its GDP. Of course, that's a very high figure. That's an extremely rapid and painful contraction. There's plenty more on this topic. Of course, you can use trade imbalances in Google, including news.google.com, for the latest developments. On Greece in particular, there's this paper, which is an EU study, and our picture on the Greek trade deficit comes from there. And very closely related, see our videos on dark matter, balance of payments for some foundational presentations, and also our whole set of videos on the Eurozone crisis.